now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, I'm interviewing our very special guest and the man behind the show, James Bartley. Today, we're going to be having a very special three-part series on all the interesting kinds of things that you don't usually find on the internet having to do with my labs, abductions, aliens, timeline merging, some of the stranger operations, and a lot of the metaphysical abilities that you don't generally hear about or know about. So without further ado, welcome, James.
Thank you, Dean. Pleased to be here. Looking forward to sharing.
Now, James, let's start off with one of the stranger things that you've experienced or that you've heard somebody experience. So tell us a quick thing about one of these experiences.
Well, in one of these ops that a colleague of mine was sent on, he had to perform what amounted to a rescue operation. There was a gal that was part of the team, and she had found herself kind of trapped on a big space station somewhere elsewhere in the cosmos, and she needed to be extracted, the term they would use here on the surface. So my colleague had basically teleported himself into the space station to rescue her, to get her out of there before she was discovered. I think that the security, the occupants of that huge space station were already onto her. They were just trying to find her. And he had to get to her before the security did, these aliens, whoever they were. So what he did, I thought was interesting, was not only does he have this teleporting capability, not only does he have this ability to open portals, but he was able to combine these abilities and use it in kind of a non-linear time sense. He opened a portal, appeared in one of the corridors of this huge space station, and then he jumped out, reopened the portal, or another portal, and came in again, but he did it kind of out of sequence. He did it kind of in a non-linear time sense where he was able to manifest himself at this place at more than one place at more than one time, right? Kind of simultaneously to throw off the security. I don't know if I'm describing it right, but the long and the short of it was he was able to do this, get a hold of the gal who needed to be extracted, pulled her through the portal, and got her out of there. What he did, it's coming back to me now, what he did was he opened a portal and he stepped out of it, distracted the security, did some kind of diversion, right? But then, because of his ability to jump in and out of these portals, he opened another portal elsewhere on that big space station and was able to come out of it and grab his colleague and pull her out of there, while this other aspect of himself, kind of in a non-linear time sense, was doing a diversion on the ship elsewhere. I thought that was...
And was he able to see himself when he opened the portal?
Yes, the way it was described to me, he was able to see in a quantum third eye sense, he can see himself doing this, right? Like both parts of him that were doing this were kind of working in sync with one another. And he could see in his mind's eye that his other self, it was actually just him, but out of linear time sequence, was doing these things. I thought that was very creative. I thought that was very inventive.
And was he able to save his friend in the end?
Yes, he pulled her out. He pulled her out before the ETs on that craft captured her, right? That could have been a big problem because that would have created a whole another series of problems. So he was able to pull that off.
What kind of a facility was this? Was this a medical facility? What were they doing to his friend?
I don't recall the details. It had been a long time since I had this discussion with my colleague, but it was a, all I remember at this point, it was a very large, what seemed to be a very large space station or a gigantic craft somewhere in the cosmos. And he had to teleport into the craft, basically tune into her energetic signature or remotely view her or somehow locate her inside this huge craft and then pull off this op that I just mentioned where he was able to open at least two portals and he would go in and out of one and in and out of the other one and create a diversion with himself in a nonlinear time sequence kind of way and then extract the girl. So he did all this without the security catching on or, you know, disrupting the whole rescue operation. Another thing that goes on similar to that, and this happens on the surface too, where people that are tasked with a hostage rescue, they don't really know, are they rescuing people or are they, is it like a snatch raid, a kidnapping, right? And what happens sometimes is there are different factions at work that operate these MyLab operations that have time travel, alternate reality accessing capability. And sometimes what's been described to me is one or more of these MyLab operators would break into like a prison, what we would regard as a detainment facility or a prison, and extract somebody, pull them out. And they were given to understand they were rescuing somebody. And it could, you know, they're given the idea that perhaps as a scientist or an engineer or someone that they don't want to remain in the hands of this other group, this other faction. And so they go in and then they use their abilities to rescue the person that's in confinement, in detainment, and open a portal and then take the person away. But one just has to wonder, is it really a rescue or, you know, I mean, it seems as if sometimes a person is in detainment, someone is behind bars, so to speak. And so that kind of lends credence to the notion that they are a prisoner being held against their will. But other times they may lift somebody, rescue somebody, and it's not as clear cut. They may not be in a cell. They may not be in obvious detainment. They could just be somewhere, an office or some facility somewhere. So, and once they bring the person back and they hand the person over, they're not really debriefed. They're not really told what's going to happen next, what's going to happen to this person. They did their job and that's it, right? So sometimes there's kind of a fudge factor at work.
Now, when people get abducted by the military and aliens, we know some of the things that are commonly put on the internet, like putting things up the noses, experiments, but what are some of the things we don't hear about?
You mean that are done to people by aliens in particular?
Aliens, the military, basically anyone who abducts.
Well, there's all this talk these days about the djinn and the shadow people. And in the future segment of the Cosmic Switchboard, we're going to be delving into some of those issues as well, the shadow people issue. What happens sometimes, what's been reported to me by what I consider to be reliable sources, is that in a MyLab context, the MyLab, their consciousness may be shunted out of their physical body. And for example, they may come back through a jump gate, like a stargate or a portal or something, and then they're met by military and or scientific psychology type people. And then the consciousness of the person who's returned is like ejected, like knocked out of their physical body, and they can see themselves from an external perspective watching themselves be debriefed by the military and or these, you know, shrinks, psychiatrists, what have you. And what's been known to happen is that as they're standing outside themselves, watching themselves be debriefed, they notice to their shock that the military and or psychiatrists are talking to the person, but they're actually talking to a shadow entity that had taken up the person, right? So they perceive that a shadow entity is inside their own body talking to the military, and then the shadow being leaves, either leaves of its own accord or is dismissed or whatever the case may be. And then after the shadow entity leaves, then they go back into their own body. So if they didn't know any better, they think that it's possible that the shadow being had been inside them during that whole op they just returned from. And maybe it was that shadow being that was actually, you know, navigating them, you know, running them, right, from a skin suit body perspective.
Now, what are some of the stranger medical procedures that people go through, or the more painful ones?
Well, the more painful ones are... Now, some of the ETs seem to be able to do these medical procedures in, for the most part, at least some of these procedures, and at least some ETs seem to be able to do some procedures in a relatively pain-free way. Like people have described having their craniums opened and, you know, their skull just kind of set aside parts of it. And then the ETs work on parts of their brain. They talk about having their eyeballs removed and implants being put in or taken out. And sometimes these procedures are described as sometimes not being very painful, but other times they can be quite painful. And when the person is reliving the experience under regression, hypnotic regression, they're abreacting, they're screaming, they're in pain, they're contorting, right? You know, in pain. And other things that have been done to people are that are painful too are electromagnetic beaming, where certain parts of the brain are beamed to the point, and the beaming intensifies to the point where the person can feel their brain twitching beneath their scalp. When the intensity of the beaming, you know, amps up, they involuntarily cross their eyes, and everything turns white, and they can literally feel beneath their scalp their brain, a part of their brain that's being beamed, twitching. Right, so that happens too with some people for particular purposes. And also, what some of the ETs do is they put people through the extremes of not only physical pain, but emotional pain, too. You hear all these people say, oh, the aliens are interested in our emotions. But what does that really mean, right? What they do sometimes is they put people through the extremes of emotion, either tremendous sadness, rage, all points in between, like they've been known to make people in their experiences not only witness through holograms or looking at like a big monitor, like scenes of nuclear devastation, and then they elicit the ETs, and different ETs have been known to do this, Nordics, Greys, etc. And they show them a scene of nuclear devastation, and then the person becomes very traumatized, very emotionally overwrought, and sometimes they'll even make it out. So in a virtual reality astral dreamscape manipulation, they make an individual think that they've caused a thermonuclear war and are responsible for destroying the world. And I've known of cases of people being subjected to that, and they wake up sobbing into their pillow, you know, through grief and through shame and guilt and everything. So when people say they're interested in our emotions, that's just the tip of the iceberg. They put us through our paces. They really make us emote, but sometimes in very negative ways. And the military also, they will put people through a lot of duress, a lot of, you know, instill a lot of anxiety. And depending on the agenda they have for somebody, they can try to make the person very impulsive and aggressive, because it suits their agenda to have the person kind of on a hair trigger and, you know, prone to fly off the handle. For whatever reason, they want a particular category of people, you know, render them in that state. So when they utilize them, it's easier to bring out certain aspects of their personas or certain alters out. I'm just, you know, my educated guess. But there's a bleed over effect where, like in their regular world, in their regular life, they could, you know, fly off the handle. They can be very impulsive and prone to fits of aggression.
So it basically sounds like what you're saying is they go through mental and emotional torture.
Yes, some of them definitely do. There's no doubt about that. It's not all, you know, warm and fuzzy ETs. These ETs are going to get their money's worth out of us from an emotional, physical, spiritual standpoint. And the military, too, will do that because some of these MyLab males in particular, but also female MyLabs, they want them almost in a permanent state of like anger and aggression.
Now, do they target certain bloodlines, or are they just picking anybody, or how do these people target their victims?
I definitely believe it has something to do with bloodlines, and because they're in league with certain ETs that have tracked bloodlines and indeed tracked the various incarnations, or at least some of the incarnations of these MyLabs, they have an idea of who they were in past incarnations, what their capabilities were, what their strengths and weaknesses from previous incarnations are. So I definitely believe that they track them in two ways that run parallel. The bloodline, the traditional bloodline, genetic manipulation, making sure that certain bloodlines continue by bringing in certain people from the outside in order to strengthen a particular DNA profile, whatever the case may be. And this goes back throughout the ages, right? And then in parallel to that, they seem to be aware of some of the past lives that people have had. And they know that some of these past life memories and abilities can be accessed and exploited in some way. So, yeah, I don't think they just take people off the street. It has to be somebody with a particular DNA profile, a certain morphic resonance field profile.
Now, when these people are abducting, some of these people have stronger physical effects that we don't hear about? Like, I've heard about people that are not feeling good or they're feeling sick, but do they ever have stronger effects or permanent effects from this?
You mean like after effects, side effects as a byproduct of these experiences?
Right, like changes in their personality, they can't use part of their brain properly, things like that.
Yes, yes. And the manipulation, the behavioral manipulation, runs the gamut from sexual manipulation to psychological manipulation, even spiritual manipulation. Some of these archontic beings have the ability to, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, chip away soul fragments of us. And even though they don't have possession or control of our entire soul, they chip off a fragment and are able to, you know, draw energy, loosh, whatever the case may be, out of it. But due to quantum entanglement, as they would say nowadays, we still have a connection to that soul fragment. So it can manifest itself in a number of ways, like debilitating chronic illnesses, mood swings, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, there could be a lot of side effects, but some of these side effects are the desired outcome, what these controllers, be they human or non-human, want. Like a little while ago, I mentioned some of the male MyLabs can be very impulsive, very aggressive. They could have problems with domestic abuse. They, as a result, some of them have been arrested and, you know, incarcerated because of issues with domestic abuse or having some kind of fracas, some kind of fight with somebody in public. You know, they just couldn't control themselves, right? That happens too.
Now, when our soul fragments get stolen, is there any way to get them back or protect against that?
Yes, I believe there are. I mean, I'm not personally aware. I would like to know. I mean, there are a lot of people that claim to be able to heal people throughout all time, you know, all realities, all timelines, and you know, whatnot. But, you know, I mean, I haven't figured it out yet, so I'm not really qualified to comment on that. But I know that it's been done, you know, in a shamanistic sense, and people claim to have recovered all of their soul fragments. And, you know, I'm not in a position to, you know, dispute their claim, you know.
Now, some of the stranger things have to do with timelines and dimensions and things like that. Have you ever heard of anything such as timeline merging or going through different dimensions or different realms or things like that?
Yes. You mean like in a MyLab context?
Either MyLab or alien abduction.
Yes, in an alien abduction context, I've heard that. Way back when, Katarina Wilson talks about how the ET she was in contact with somehow were able to show her through a view screen, a holographic projection or something, show her counterpart in another reality giving a lecture about alien abductions, right? And I've had colleagues that were told from higher dimensional spiritual beings that, you know, they're making a big difference in this reality, because in other realities where they're not present or something had happened to them or due to some circumstance they were never born or whatever the case may be, you know, that particular world had suffered for it, right? So it speaks to the importance that each one of you, the listeners, have, that each one of you has already made a tremendous impact, a positive impact in this world. And don't think for one second that you're not making a positive impact, because in the worlds where, in the alternate realities where you don't exist, you know, I feel that in those worlds have suffered for it. Right. So I've heard that as well, that, you know, we're not present in all these other alternate realities. Some of our counterparts just either didn't last that long or, you know, due to one reason or another, they never came into existence.
Now, do you think these aliens are messing with the timelines? And if they are, how do we protect ourselves from that? Or can we protect ourselves from that? Or is that even possible?
Well, I know that in my own personal experiences, I've been in other timelines and other realities, and especially when I've been, you know, sleeping and I go off in some other dimension or something in these dimension hopping experiences. And some of these realities, they seem to be even darker than this one, darker from a metaphorical negative sense, if that's possible. I mean, this is a pretty dark dimension we're in now. So the ability to protect ourselves in a timeline sense, the only way that I could see, and just off the top of my head, is that we have to become masters of our own domain. These aliens, some of them definitely have manipulated and messed with the timeline. And now, well, for some time now, these deep black elements of the military have also developed this time-altering, time-manipulation capability. Right, I just had Lorena on the show, and she talked about how she could be either at this underground installation or off-world somewhere or in another dimension for what seems like days and weeks. But when they return her, you know, virtually no time has been lost in our continuum, our reality. So that's happening all the time. And from what I've been given to understand, and this has come from like a higher dimensional source, let's say, right, is that Hollywood and the media, particularly Hollywood, continually promote the idea of the butterfly effect, where if you go back in time or you do anything in time, the slightest thing you do is going to have a really profoundly negative effect on your current reality, right? And I saw this also in that TV show Primeval, a UK show, where a guy went back, you know, back to the prehistoric days, and then when he came back to his reality, everything was different. There is a school of thought coming from certain higher dimensional sources that's just Hollywood trying to make everyone fearful of time travel, fearful of going back in time, fearful of going into the future, because get them to think that the slightest alteration of, you know, slightest actions can mess everything up, when in reality, the powers that be, you know, aliens and human military, they're doing this all the time, and they have no qualms about it. They have no guilt or shame about it. They just want to make everyone fearful that if you go back in time, that you're going to mess things up. So they constantly reinforce that message with movies like The Butterfly Effect, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, to answer your question, yes, I think that we have to be masters of our own domain in all respects, you know, interdimensionally and spiritually and internally.
So it sounds like they're scared that we have the ability inside us, and they're trying to do a disinformation campaign to scare us from developing that ability. Do you think they're trying to prevent us or scare us out of developing any other abilities as well that we could develop?
Yes, I'm in contact with close colleagues that manifest all kinds of abilities in these MyLab ops, and also standalone ops that don't have anything to do with the military, don't even have anything to do with friendly higher dimensional ETs. They just seem to have the capability at some level, at some altered state of being, to go off and do all these ops on their own, individually or in groups, right? And then when they, you know, they come to an awareness and they wake up in our world, and they want to have those abilities, develop those abilities here. Sometimes when they're getting close to being able to do those things that they do in these ops or in an altered state of being, some intervention, some disruption takes place where negative ETs, demonic entities, even the military will interfere with that person's progress and do things that debilitate and disrupt them, because they don't want these people to be able to utilize these abilities in their normal waking consciousness, right? Because that would just cause all kinds of problems for them.
Now, are most of these abilities done with, or like organic abilities, or in some of these operations, do people use technology or crystals or combine it, or how does that work?
It's both. Some of these MyLab operators have the means to open portals, and not only open portals and, you know, enter into them and pop up somewhere else, and not only open portals and allow their team members to go through. And sometimes they can do this just with the power, the innate power they have within them, the power they generate from their hands. Some teams will utilize a portable device to open these portals. And we must think in scale. It's not just like an individual or a small group of people going through a portal and popping up in another timeline or alternate reality or elsewhere in the cosmos. They can open portals, quite large ones, and just literally teleport large groups of people, large amounts of equipment, cargo, etc., and just, you know, make them go through this portal, right? It's not a painstaking thing where, like in, you know, Stargate, Atlantis, or SG-1 terms, they have to necessarily walk through pushing all this cargo or pulling all this cargo. They can open a portal and then just send people through and send large amounts of people and equipment and cargo through, right? And that one individual could do that. And like I said, some people have this innate ability. They can just manipulate, you know, reality with their hands or their energy or whatever. Other people need these portable devices. So, you know, it varies really.
Now, have you ever heard any, because when people do this, they're interacting with a lot of different timelines, a lot of different powerful or less powerful beings that may or may not be good or bad. Has anybody told you about being contacted or having problems with this in this current reality because of stuff they've done in other realities?
Yes, from the standpoint that, you know, some of these negative ETs and the military controllers don't want them to develop these capabilities and cause problems for them, right? But it's, you mean as far as like a knock-on effect, like a blowback where an individual utilizes their ability to go into alternate realities and whatnot, and then that causes problems for them in this reality?
Right, like they do something in an alternate reality and then something comes back from an alternate reality to get revenge or something like that.
Yes, yes, I've heard of that because in one occasion there was, well, not one occasion, I'm sure there are more, but I was very familiar with this one case, right, where this MyLab buddy of mine, he remembers his... And, you know, there's no such thing as a past life. It's the eternal now, past, present, and future run parallel and intersect at various points. So it's the eternal now, really. And in one of his other incarnations, and I think it was in some other reality, he was like a scientist for this race of beings. And there was like factions, and he was on one faction. And there was a very dark, evil, dark magician faction, basically. And he basically was killed. He was thrown into detention. And in that reality, detention was he was slid down this icy slope into this kind of like a depression, a hole in the snow, right? But he couldn't climb out of it because it was too slick. If you ever saw the movie Blade, it was similar to when, you know, the first Blade movie where they throw the girl down this sloping kind of ramp, and then she winds up in this pit kind of thing and has to, you know, deal with issues down there. It was similar to that where it was kind of a snow world, right? And they threw him into this sloping ramp icy thing, and he goes down there and he's stuck in this kind of depression, this cavity, and he can't get out, and he had recurring nightmares, okay, of this going on.
Okay,
so what happens is that every once in a while he'll have these nightmares and dreams of this parallel existence, and on more than one occasion these beings, these dark magicians, dark warlocks, came from that reality into this one to go after him, right? So they still see him as this other faction that they don't like, even though he's in this reality and looks like one of us, right? So every once in a while, these beings pop up, and they're still carrying this vendetta, this kind of animosity from his previous incarnation with them.
Now, we'll discuss it briefly now, but we'll do it mostly in the second part. But do you want to give us a brief description of some of the warring factions in the universe?
Yes, there seems to be what I know about it, right? There definitely seems to be this reptilian Draco empire, for lack of a better term, and they've managed to, you know, suborn all these different ET races and civilizations. You know, they get them to go along willingly or unwillingly to be part of their empire, and all that has spilled over into our solar system and has been going on for a long time, this conflict. And there seems to be factions of the Palladians they battled with, the reptilians and Draco. There seems to be factions of the lion beings that the reptilians and the Draco have battled, and there seems to be beings and civilizations caught in the middle, right? So I think that those of us here on this planet, this is occupied territory. We have been incorporated into the Draco Empire, for lack of a better term, right? And that's part of the mission, is to break out of here and to end this soul recycling, harvesting agenda, and, you know, free ourselves and free this planet from this dominion, you know, to use a Star Trek term.
How long do you think we've been in this dominion? Do you think it's like it, they say that they created us, or what do you think the story is with that?
Well, long before this most recent celestially driven cataclysm or cataclysms, there had been all this warfare going on, and we hear stories of the, you know, Lemuria versus Atlantis, and each one of them are just a proxy, an outpost of these warring factions, and the warfare spans not only this cosmos, but it's multidimensional, right? So you have these different ET races and factions that are battling each other. They're trying to infiltrate each other through incarnating into one another's civilizations, and, you know, capturing one another and creating off-breed and rather like hybrid offshoots to enable themselves to incarnate easier into each other's civilizations. And, you know, there's been all this trial and error experimentation going on, and we just happen to be caught up in it. And some of us have been going through this for a long time, because in our previous parallel incarnations, we were these ETs battling one another. And some of us were on, you know, more than one side, if you will. You know, we were on a side that we like to perceive as being the good side. And also we were on the side that we would perceive now as being on the bad side. Some of us were in both, right? So I believe this conflict has gone on for millions and millions of years, because I do believe a very large planet has been blown up in our solar system, and this resulted in the creation of the asteroid belt. And that was an act of war, right? And then there are signs on Mars and elsewhere in the solar system of this cosmic battle. And this goes back millions, hundreds of millions of years. So it's nothing that just transpired, you know, post-Atlantis or even during the Atlantean period. And even the Anunnaki chronicles, Anunnaki stories, where these different members of the Anunnaki pantheon, who I believe are reptilians, basically, the, you know, an outgrowth of the reptilian Draco Empire, that, you know, different members of the Anunnaki pantheon warred against each other, and they had their own factions, right? So, you know, that's just one example of this, and then there's been others. So this conflict has just been going on endlessly, and I believe it's starting, you know, it's starting to come to a head again, right? We're about to see the rising of the final curtain of this particular act before too long.
Now, we're going to be reaching the end of the first segment soon. Is there anything else you want to say to our listeners before we go into the second segment?
Yes. Some of you listening have had your own ET experiences and your own MyLab type operations and experiences. And just remember that, you know, you're nobody's tool, you're nobody's flunky, you're nobody's stooge, that you are a sovereign being in your own right, and you have all these innate latent abilities, and just keep working on yourself and keep developing these abilities, because they're going to really come in handy, you know, going forward.
Well, thank you for listening to the first segment. In part two and part three, we're going to have a lot more information. In part two, we're going to be talking about the Jinn and Shadow people, some more of the different warring factions, some people who are called, or not people, but some beings who are called Dark World Traders, some prison worlds, non-carbon-based life, and who's at the top of all this. In part three, we'll have even more excellent information. Also, I just wanted to thank all our subscribers for supporting our website, because without you, we couldn't be providing this content ad-free. And even if you can't afford to subscribe, please go on our forums, give us your feedback, share our channel, like our channel, and keep in touch. Thank you.
Thank you.